And welcome back to Success Made to Last Legend Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is presented by Gracefully Yours greeting cards and their crazy church kitchen ladies. You can go to gracefully-yours.com today and get 25% off any of their greeting cards just by putting the words four word. That's the number four and word there at your transaction point as a promotion code. Get 25% off just for listening to this show. Hey, on our Legends show today is Danny Eaton. He is the Senior Vice President for Outback Presents. He's had a 50-plus year career as a concert promoter and has worked with some of the greatest in the history of the music industry, including ZZ Top, Linda Ronstadt, James Taylor, The Kinks, and many more. He's here today to talk about Outback Presents and to share some of his funny stories with us. Danny, welcome to Success Made to Last Legends.
Well, thanks, Rick. And like I said, this is both a pleasure and honor to be here. And, you know, I've got to start off and say that it's probably one in a million chance that I'm lucky enough to be talking to you and to have had the kind of opportunities I've had over the course of my career, which I hate to say is spanning a little over 50 years. So, but I'm from a very small town up, you know, you might have heard of Parrish, Texas, up in Northeast Texas. And we do have an Eiffel Tower up there. It's 65 feet tall with a big cowboy hat on it. But, and I grew up, you know, doing things that you do in a small town, working on a farm and working construction for my dad. But one day my dad, when I was about 17 years old, walked in and he said, "Well, I don't know if you'd be interested in this or not, but I just came from Dallas," and he handed me four tickets, and they were to a Beatles concert in 1964 in Dallas.
Yeah. Wow!
And so I got a few of my friends and made the trip to Dallas, and of course, I think I ended up carrying about two or three girls out that fainted in the show, and I was just amazed. And from that point on, I've just got to be involved in this some way, somehow. And one thing led to another, and like you said earlier, I kind of started off in the management part of the business with a group of musicians here in Dallas. It ended up a few of these guys, one of Wally Wilson, a real prolific songwriter and does a series called Skyville Live over in Nashville, and Gary Nicholson, who's on just about every country record you ever heard as a writer, and Mark Benno, who turned out to be the part of half of the Asylum Choir with Leon. So we went out and made a record with Leon, and of course, learned a lot from the master of Space and Time. I mean, Leon always wanted to write what he called a standard, and which I think, in my opinion, he pretty well did with Song for You. But he told me one time, he said, "You know, if you can write 1,000 songs and one of them turns out to be White Christmas, I guess you've done your job." So, but this business is kind of like that. You just got to keep trying and keep working, and sometimes it comes true.
Yes, sir.
But I went from there down to actually Austin got involved with the management of a nightclub down there on 4th and Congress called the Vulcan Gas Company. And the Vulcan at that time was sort of what the Fillmore got all the recognition in San Francisco, but Austin was like little San Francisco, and the Vulcan was kind of like the you know, that kind of scene, all original music. And, you know, we had everybody from the Velvet Underground to Canned Heat. Johnny Winter cut his first album there. And I remember you were talking about some of the people that influenced me a little bit. There was a little blues player named Mance Lipscomb who lived in Navasota, Texas. He was one of Lightning Hopkins' peers, and I used to drive over to Navasota to pick Mance up to come to spend a weekend with me and play at the club and what have you. And anyway, one day I am coming out of Navasota, and I asked Mance something about, you know, where he learned to play guitar. He said, "Well, it's like this." He said, you know, my family, I grew up here in Nevis, so we were driving by this field, and he said, right there, he said, we were sharecroppers, which, you know, sharecropper is probably a polite way to say slavery, to be honest with you, but he said, we worked in a cotton field from sun up to sundown, 6 days a week. He said, when I got off of work, it's Saturday night, I started playing guitar. I played all night. Saturday night, I played all day Sunday, all night Sunday night, went back to work on Monday morning, and that's the way I learned to play guitar. So whenever this business has been kind of, you know, getting a little rough for me, I always think about Mance and think about what he did and what he went through to get to you know, master his craft. And he was a beautiful guy. If you ever get a chance, look him up. Mance Lipscomb. He called himself a songster. He said he knew 365 songs. At any rate, you know, some of those old blues. But I asked Mance one time. I was always puzzled about the song "Dust My Broom." Is, you know, the one of the lines is, I'm going to get up in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. I asked Mance, I said, what does that mean, Mance, dust my broom? He said, well, it's like this. He said, sometimes if you're sweeping the floor, you know, your broom gets full of dirt, and it doesn't work very well. So you got to take it out in the backyard and hit it real hard and dust it off, and then you can go back to, you know, it works again. Yeah. And it's a little bit like life, to be honest with you, you know. But at any rate, I kind of went from the Vulcan. I got involved in promoting ZZ Top, and back in the early days of ZZ, of course, they weren't very radio friendly. I mean, the radio didn't pay much attention to ZZ back in the early days, and it was just all about their music and word of mouth. And so our theory was to go and just play every basically wide spot in the road and surround the big city, so that when we go into the big cities, and people would come from all over. And so I was tasked with, you know, I did shows in Laurel, Mississippi. We walked in there one day, and the guy wouldn't remove the wrestling rink from the middle of the little auditorium because he had a wrestling match the next day. He said, "Well, we'll just set our stuff up and play on the wrestling rink," and we did. But I'd walk into radio stations, and you'd walk in with the flyer from the show, and it'd say, and I remember a radio guy one time, he said, what does this 22 tops mean? But I stayed with ZZ all through the 70s, and of course, the last year I was with them was the year we called Taking Texas to the People, and we had part of the show. The stage was in the shape of the state of Texas, the very bottom of the stage. And cool. we had a buffalo, a longhorn steer, some trained buzzards, and some rattlesnakes, believe it or not, that were in a plexiglass cage down on the bottom of the tip of Texas. And the start of the show, every show on each side of the stage on scissor lifts would be a longhorn come up on one side and a buffalo come up on the other side, hit the spotlights, raise the state of the flag of the state of Texas and play the Eyes of Texas. And that'd be the start of the show. And we had a lot of fun with it. We had a lot of fun with it. And I remember when we played Anaheim, we did 28 stadium shows the last year I was with them. We played Anaheim, California. Of course, you know, the press in Hollywood's kind of tough. They've seen everything. They've done everything. They've experienced everything. So we kind of got a little different slant going on where our trucks with the show were different, different parts of the state of Texas. There's like a South Texas scene, a West Texas scene, a Northeast Texas scene, and put it all put together was sort of a mural that the trucks made. So we pulled the trucks down Hollywood and Vine and circled them covered wagon style in this little park. And we had all the press out there. And then our fellow that was the handler for the animals comes driving up in a pickup truck with a horse trailer on behind. And then he pulled right in the middle of the thing. We had all the cameras rolling and everything. And so all of a sudden there's some wrestling around in the trailer, and Ralph, the fellow's named Ralph Fisher, who's a rodeo clown from Huntsville Prison Rodeo. He was an animal trainer. He came out of the trailer riding a longhorn steer with a buzzard on each shoulder with his cowboy hat in one hand. And I'm going to tell you, that was on every national news channel in Hollywood, lead of the news. So we pulled it off. We had a lot of fun with ZZ. They're absolutely brilliant. Their manager I worked with closely, Bill Hamm, probably one of the most brilliant men I've ever been around, honestly.
Well, Danny, let me tell you about my first concert experience. It was in 1967, going to a Sonny and Cher concert in Dallas. 10 years later, Texas A&M loved Bachman Turner Overdrive. 10 years after that, 1987, was the Monkees reunion. And then I recall one of my favorite concerts was 1997, the Guess Who up in New England. I think that we mark our years by the great concerts that we've attended. Tell us what you think.
Well, that's a really good point, and that's something that's sort of really dear to my heart, to be honest with you, because I've always felt like if I can play a small part of, you know, people, it's kind of like Mance is talking about dusting your broom here a little bit, you know, because if people can come to a show and spend a couple of hours, no matter what show it is, and you're a part of putting that show together, and they walk into that auditorium, and 2 or 3 hours later they walk out and they feel better than they did when they walk in, then guess what? You've done your job. And it's a big job. It's a big job with a lot of people involved. And certainly I wouldn't be the one to take sole credit, because I'm just a cog in the wheel. But you're right. Sometimes you hit the right thing, right show, and it really just changes your life, just like the Beatles show did for me. I mean, it absolutely changed my life. If that hadn't happened, I don't know. I may have still been on the farm.
Well, I doubt it. And, you know, as careers go full circle, here you went to the Beatles concert in your teens and then years later produce the Paul McCartney concert. Wow, that's too cool. So today, you're the Senior Vice President at Outback Presents, and give a comment on the fact that people are all pent up, craving to get back to concerts.
Well, that's what we think. And of course, with Outback, Outback's just... Outback has been making us laugh for years. When I first Mike Smardak, who's one of the principals over there, is a dear friend of mine, and I've known him for 2 or 3 decades. But he has put together a company that does a ton of comedy shows, and they're going to keep us laughing. They're going to keep us laughing once on the other side of this stuff. That's for sure. But I remember one of the first times I met Mike, we were at, he was doing a bunch of dates with, Larry the Cable Guy. And, so Mike and I were down to the side of the stage right before the show started, and Cable Guy walks up and we started talking, and my mother was there that night. And so I told Cable Guy my mother was there and she's a big fan. Well, where's she sitting? I said, well, I don't know exactly. I got her tickets, but I don't know exactly. She said, well, get her on the phone. So I called the phone. She didn't answer her phone. And so anyway, so we'll call her back. And he left a message for her. They put me in the box a little bit, because he told her, he said, well, if he would have known where you were sitting, I was going to put you on stage with me and all this kind of stuff. Of course, she kept that call for about, it's probably still on her phone, actually.
So tell us what you will do in this position at Outback.
Well, we hope to, I've done some comedy in my life. I mean, some comedy shows that, you know, that's been a good part of what I do. But most of my career has been geared toward music And so we intend to bring more music events into the Outback stable. And that'll be my primary focus, to be honest with you.
Well, very good. Do you have any news for us on any upcoming concert dates?
Well, you know, we're premature on that announcing. I mean, there's a lot of jockeying going on right now. I do have a couple of dates out in West Texas with John Party that's going to be a lot of fun. But we're still, you know, this is pretty new, and we're still jockeying back and forth. So I don't want to stick my number 11 in my mouth here and say something I shouldn't say.
Well, that's fine. But needless to say, folks, get ready to enjoy some of the great concerts from Outback Presents. Hey, let's close this show by you sharing one of your great memorable stories from years as a concert promoter.
Well, that's a hard one to pick from right there. But you know, I gotta think back to I'll tell you that there's maybe two I can go real quick. I had a club up here in Dallas called the Palladium of Dallas, which was one of the greatest clubs I've ever been in. To be honest with you, it was an old dinner theater that we remodeled into a club and moved it from a theater and around to the stage on one side. And I booked Tina Turner for four shows, two nights, four shows. She was doing two shows a night. Sold out all four shows. But part of the logistics is, because of the way it was laid out, the artist had to actually, the dressing rooms were on the other end of the building, so the artist had to walk up about 50 stairs, walk across the catwalk that was actually kind of walked across the top of the audience, and then down another set of stairs to the other side. Well, Tina did her four shows, and after the end of the fourth show, I was standing on the side of the stage, and she came off, and we walked up the stairs, and I was walking behind her. And I noticed she was having a little trouble getting up the stairs. We got up to the flat part, went across the catwalk. We started going down the other side. She looked at me and she said, "Boss man, you're going to have to carry me down these stairs." She said, "My legs are too cramped up. I can't possibly make it." So she jumped up on my back, and I carried her down the stairs, about 50 stairs down, got her in the dressing room. And I thought, you know what? That is the epitome of somebody leaving it all on the stage, and that lady sure did that. Every time I've ever seen Tina on any kind of TV thing or anything in the world, I think about that night, and boy, what a performer.
Wow, I love that. That's what the industry is all about, entertainers who leave it all on the stage for the love of their craft and for love of their audience.
You know, and that's so true, and it's to credit to every person, from the truck driver to the bus driver to the caterer to the guitar tech to the production managers.
Hey, it's been great to have you on today's show. Thank you for sharing all your wonderful stories. We want to have you back on again, and keep us informed about all the great shows coming up from Outback Presents. Thank you, sir, for being on.
Thank you, Rick. Okay.
That was Danny Eaton. We appreciate him being on our legend show for Success Made to Last. We want to thank our sponsors, Graceful Years and their funny kitchen ladies, for their wonderful support of this network. Hey, as we always say, may you move and live your life from ordinary to extraordinary. Have a great week.
And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, "Mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy." They also say, "Crunch tacos, not abs." And "Psst, you're crazy" is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, "Life is short, lick the bowl." If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today. and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.